Hi there, listeners. It's Farnoosh, and I just want to say I'm really honored that you've chosen to subscribe to So Money. I know there are a lot of podcasts out there. The fact that you're here is not lost on me. Now, if you're enjoying these episodes and you're benefiting from the advice and you want more, I've actually created something really special for us. It's called the So Money Members Club. It's an online platform where you can connect more closely with me and engage with fellow So Money fans who want to become more empowered in their financial lives. The website is SoMoneyMembers.com. And when you go there, you'll learn all the benefits, including exclusive monthly finance workshops, private group calls with me. You get your questions answered in our member community. I'm often in there weighing in, and you get instant access to all of our workshop recordings. We have a robust library that's growing. So far, we've had workshops on investing in real estate, kids and money, and how to earn more in 2024. And most of all, it's fun, positive, encouraging, all the things personal finance should be. Go to SoMoneyMembers.com, and I hope you'll join us. I'm limiting enrollment, and doors will close soon. Check out SoMoneyMembers.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hosting the So Money podcast for almost 10 years, I've been learning a lot about how to best serve you outside the show. I've begun to offer pop-up workshops and a So Money members club. And with each new line of business, a lot goes on behind every transaction. Stripe helps simplify and ease payments with Tap to Pay on iPhone, which helps me grow revenue and reach through accepting more in-person contactless payments when I'm out in real life promoting my programs. Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe give me the ability to scale quickly and stay flexible with quick setup and no additional hardware required. And it's not just ideal for me. From local pop-ups to global retailers, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe help businesses of all sizes accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. Whether your customers want to use their card, Apple Pay, or other digital wallet, now you can accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone. So Money episode 649, Kelly Richmond Pope, director of All the Queen's Horses, professor and forensic accounting expert.
You're listening to So Money with award-winning money guru Farnoosh Torabi. Each day, get a 30-minute dose of financial inspiration from the world's top business minds, authors, influencers, and from Farnoosh herself. Looking for ways to save on gas or double your double coupons? Sorry, you're in the wrong place. Seeking profound ways to live a richer, happier life? Welcome to So Money.
Welcome to So Money, everyone. Ready to get forensic on the human condition? Welcome to So Money. I'm your host, Farnoosh Torabi. We're going to dig into what actually has people create crime. And not just any crime, financial crime. Like, what is actually behind it? The motivation, the mindset. And to bring this to life, we have Kelly Richmond Pope on the show. She is the genius behind the movie All the Queen's Horses. It is a true story of Rita Crunwell, one of the nation's leading quarter horse breeders, who was also arrested in 2012. She was the largest municipal fraud perpetrator in the country's history. She embezzled upwards of $50 million as the comptroller and treasurer of Dixon, Illinois. Now, it's not $50 billion like, or $60 billion like Bernie Madoff, but $50 million is a lot of money. And we're talking small town Illinois. And we're talking about a woman who was trusted, right? She was a horse breeder. What? There were no signs that she was going to be stealing your money, but were there? The film's actually won HBO's Best Documentary Award at the Martha's Vineyard African American Film Festival. Critics are going nuts. They love it. Kelly's not just a filmmaker. She's also an associate professor in the School of Accountancy and MIS at DePaul University in Chicago. And there she teaches a lot of different courses around accounting and also a course on leadership. She's also a speaker and an author. She's worked in the forensic practice at KPMG on anti-money laundering engagements, insurance fraud investigations, and fraud risk management projects. So she is well-versed in the forensic accounting field, and she's on a ton of forensic accounting seminars around the world for universities and corporations and governments. So she really has this perspective that few of us really have, not just on the accounting world, but I think in doing this documentary too, what actually drives people to commit crime of this scale? This is a good one. Here we go. Here's Kelly Richmond Pope. Kelly Richmond Pope, welcome to So Money. It's great to connect with you.
Thank you for having me.
It's such a great time to have you on the show because recently, listeners, Kelly's film, the documentary All the Queen's Horses, won the HBO's Best Documentary Award at the Martha's Vineyard African American Film Festival. You're a busy lady. You're not just a filmmaker.
No, I'm not just a filmmaker. I'm also an accounting professor. And some days I dabble in some freelance journalism and I have a business. So I keep busy. I keep busy.
Well, I'm very interested in All the Queen's Horses. I understand this is a film that looks closely at I guess it was a horse breeder in a very small town. It was also the controller of the air of the community. And she was basically embezzling over $50 million over a series of years.
Yes. Yes.
A, how did you learn about this and what fascinated you most about it? And then at what point did you decide this needs to be a documentary?
Sure. Well, I teach forensic accounting. So, and I'm a former forensic accountant from one of the big four accounting firms. So professionally, this is what I did. And when I left the firm, I still had that desire and that interest of investigative work. So when I went back to teaching at DePaul University, I still was interested in these crime stories. So I was going around the country interviewing white collar felons, whistleblowers, and victims of fraud. And I would take a team of people with me, camera, sound, to learn more and record these stories. So when the Dixon story broke and hit the news, big headlines, city comptroller embezzles. At the time, they thought it was $30 million. And I was like, whoa, this is crazy. Like, how does one person steal that much money? So we started going back and forth to Dixon. And Dixon is about 100 miles west of Chicago. And we just started talking to people. And as I started getting into the story and talking to people, I just felt like this needs to be turned into something larger. Because once you get beyond the fact that this one person stole the money, what you then start thinking about is, how is it discovered? Could this happen anywhere? I'm sure it's happening somewhere as we're talking, but I felt like people needed to truly understand how this could really happen. Because if it can happen in Dixon, where there is a population of 16,000 people and an annual budget between $6 and $8 million, if one person can steal $53 million in that area, we know that this is happening all over. So I thought it was an important story to tell and that people needed to understand why and how.
And just to explain to listeners, we're talking about the true story of Rita Crunwell. She was or is, or I don't know, I guess was, she's in jail now, one of the nation's leading quarter horse breeders. She was arrested in 2012. It was the largest municipal fraud perpetrator crime in the country's history. And as you mentioned, she embezzled over $50 million as the comptroller and treasurer of Dixon, Illinois. Kelly, you are obsessed with crime. And can I say that? Is that fair to say?
I'm a lover of all things fraud.
You're a lover of all crime. I was reading about you. I was doing my research and I fell upon an article where you had a very bold claim, which is that we are all capable of committing a crime. Do you really think that? And why is that?
Well, I think that we all have the propensity to rationalize our way out of a decision or out of a choice. And so I think one of the reasons why we keep seeing so many headlines about people that seem to have everything going for them and they commit these crimes is because we all are capable and we often push the envelope. We sometimes just see, can we get away with it? And often it's small things like speeding or claiming too much on your reimbursement at work, or using office supplies for personal use. We all make these little missteps all of the time, but we rationalize them that they're not a big deal. So when we think about that, I would guess that most of us do something every day. Now, it could be small, but we still do it. And so that's why I think that we are all capable. And I spend a lot of time interviewing everyday people that you work with, that you worship with, that you went to school with. And those are the people that are in the headlines. Those are the people that I tend to find myself sitting across a coffee and hearing about how they had it all. And they just made that one decision that really ruined their lives. And so I think we all have it in us. Not to say that we all will exercise it, but we all think about it. We all are capable of thinking about it. And when you know that about yourself, I think you're more vigilant to stop the behavior. But if you think that it could never be you, that's when I think you should be cautious.
So should we have any empathy then for criminals? with that philosophy?
I think actually with that philosophy, that should allow us more empathy, because we can understand, we should be able to empathize more how a person can do something like this. So if you take this case, if you take this documentary and you say Rita stole $53 million, it sounds like a whopping amount of money. But if you think about how the structure of Dixon, here's a person that worked in an environment where there were no controls around the money. And she was the only one that had access and controlled the money. So it's almost like if you had a safe that you were just was sitting in the middle of the road and was open and had money just spilling out of it. How many people do you think would just walk by the safe and not take any money? How many people do you think would call and turn the safe in? That's sort of how Dixon was to Rita. Nobody was looking. So she started taking. And I think that because using that safe analogy, we can empathize. We can think about, yeah, well, maybe I'll take $50. No one's looking. No, somebody else would take it, so I'm going to take it before they can. So I think when you realize that you can relate to a lot of these stories, then you are able to empathize. Now, most of my time is spent with everyday people that commit a crime. I often don't interview the Bernard Madoffs of the world, because I think that in Madoff's case, he had reached such a high level that a lot of people can't relate to the level that he reached. But when you think about a person that is a vice president or manager or even a staff role in a company, you can often relate to their life experience. And so I think that that allows you to empathize a little better.
I wonder if that has anything to do with why, as a culture, we're so obsessed with crime shows and crime documentaries, right? As we're talking, it's making me wonder. Maybe it's because we're, like, in some ways feeling a connection.
I think we are. That's a great point. I think that we do feel a connection. I mean, if you think about just from the past couple of years, some of the shows or movies and documentaries that were nominated for Oscars, a lot of them had a crime theme. If you think about some of the content that's currently on Netflix, Orange is the New Black, Ozarks, Narcos, Breaking Bad, like all of those kinds of shows, we're drawn to those main characters, those anti-heroes, for a reason. And I think part of it is we're just fascinated with the ability that for them to get away with things. Now, eventually they get caught, but the ride up to until they do get caught, we're just fascinated by it. And I think that the frequency of these shows is telling us something about where we are as a society and what we're fascinated by.
And ultimately, how did Rita get discovered? What or who unveiled it?
Sure. So that is a very important question. Really, it's the backbone of the documentary. Rita was discovered by her employee. Her employee is a woman by the name of Kathy Swanson. And Kathy Swanson was the city clerk. She's retired now. And she discovered that this secret account that Rita was hiding from everyone. And she opened the mail one day when Rita was out of town and noticed these withdrawals and deposits that was coming out of this secret account that she didn't know about. And that's how it was discovered. So it was discovered by a whistleblower. And ironically, or interestingly, most frauds are discovered by whistleblowers in comparison to other methods such as internal audits, external audits, IT, you know, it's typically by a whistleblower.
Well, to flip it, you say, you know, we're all capable of committing a crime. That also means that we're all capable of being criminalized.
Sure. You could flip it and say that too. Absolutely.
I mean, you could, right? And so any advice for, and this is a money show. And so we, you know, we entrust sometimes many other people to help us with our finances, whether that's someone like you, a CPA, or a financial advisor, or an account, or a lawyer. From the client's perspective, from a consumer perspective, what are some ways to make sure that when you're working in a team, that your money is actually being managed accordingly?
I think the best piece of advice, and it's going to sound simple, but the best piece of advice to make sure that you're never taken advantage of financially by an advisor is really showing that person that you're working with that you're paying attention. And I think oftentimes when it comes to finances, people just shut down. And when you find a person that you think you trust, you leave everything to them and you don't ask any questions and you feel like, oh, I found Joe and Joe's got it covered. I don't have to ever think about this because I trust Joe 100%. And I think when you find yourself in those types of arrangements, that's when you need to be careful because you always need to know what's going on. And I think that it's important for people to just have a basic understanding of how to read a financial statement, a basic understanding of really reading your bank statement and understanding the fees, because banks make mistakes too. And so understanding what is going on. When you think about what's happened over the past couple of weeks with the Equifax breach, you know, it's now requiring people to pay attention to their past transactions in a way that they probably never did. And now you really need to. And I'm one of the 143 million Americans whose information was taken. So now I'm even more diligent than I was before about paying attention to the transactions on my debit card, paying attention to the transactions on my credit card. It has credit been opened without my permission? So really just paying attention and knowing that I don't entrust any one person to manage my finances better than myself.
Kelly, I'd love to pick your money brain a little bit since this is the show called So Money, and we've touched on money quite a bit already, but from a personal perspective, I'd love to learn now if you have perhaps an overarching financial philosophy. Maybe it's an approach that you take when you're managing your own money or giving advice, but do you have a money mantra of sorts?
So when I was younger, my money mantra was really established by my dad. And I remember my dad always saying that you should keep about $250 cash and never go to the ATM machine more than once a week. And this was years ago. And with the birth of debit cards, it seems like that's much harder. But you know what I found is the more I stick to that advice, the better I'm able to control that miscellaneous amount of spending that I do. You know, the Starbucks swiping my debit card, running in Target swiping my debit card, you know, going into Whole Foods swiping my debit card, ordering off from Amazon. If I control that to maybe two purchases and two times to the ATM machine and keep just some cash with me, I find that I spend less money. So that's one of my mantras. Another one is only going out to eat for lunch once a week. That keeps a lot more money in my pocket. And the last would be watching my cell phone bill. And what I've noticed sometimes is my cell phone has replaced that credit card. So you remember when you were younger, I'm not sure how old you are, but I may be older than you. But there was once a time when we were in college, when I was in college, that the credit card people were all over the place. And you could go and open a credit card and had a crazy high interest rate and everybody did it, right? Did you remember those days?
Oh, I signed up for a number of credit cards.
Well, it's almost like
shot glass.
Yeah.
I love that.
But it's almost like your cell phone has replaced, it's a cell phone bill is like the modern day credit.
Cell phone's your wallet.
Yes.
Yeah.
But if you think about it, the two things that I've noticed that with my life that I'm trying to figure out how to cut the cost somewhat is my cell phone bill and my wireless bill at home, because those are two money pits for me and they're very expensive and I'm trying to figure out ways to really control that. But those are a couple little tips that I'm trying to employ in my life to just have more loose cash around the house. Something I also do is at my front door, I have a huge glass container for spare change that I keep all year long. You know, just the pennies, the nickels that are always sitting around the house that you just never pay attention to. And I collect all those. And at the end of the year, I take them to the bank. And you'd be surprised how much money you have at the end of the year.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe came along and changed everything. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. Now I can accept in-person, contactless payments right from my iPhone. No extra hardware required. What's truly remarkable is how I can cater to all of my customers' payment preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe ensure a smooth checkout experience every time. And it's not just me. Stripe helps businesses of all sizes, from local markets to global retailers, scale quickly and stay agile. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
The weather's getting warmer as I record. It's a nice 73 degrees on the East Coast. So finally, time to say goodbye to jackets and sweaters and, fingers crossed, hello to shorts and tees. And I need to update my wardrobe for the long haul. And, you know, I don't want to spend a fortune. So luckily, I found Quince. I'm honest. I've got a lineup of timeless pieces from Quince that keep me looking effortlessly chic year after year. I'm talking premium European linen dresses, blouses and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14 karat gold jewelry, and tons more. Best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. I have t-shirts from Quince, pajamas from Quince. My very chic and fashionable sister-in-law, Hannah, her whole closet is Quince. And people often stop us and ask, where did you get this? Don't tell me the price. And then when I do, they're shopping on quince.com. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/somoney for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/somoney to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/somoney. For the longest time, I dreaded buying bras. It was like shopping for jeans. Impossible. You want a bra that's sexy, you want a bra that's comfortable, you can't have both. Well, now you can, thanks to Third Love. Third Love was started to take all the frustration, the ick, the ugh, out of bra shopping. That's why they make solutions for every bra problem or brablem. Their bras make it easy to bring back perkiness you haven't seen since high school. Get smoothing, you know where, and have straps that actually stay put. Designed at their headquarters in San Francisco and made with premium materials, they put every style through hours of wear testing on real women, including themselves, before it's given the stamp of boob approval. Comfort and support are guaranteed. Plus, whether you're a double A cup or an H cup, their virtual fitting room will help you find your perfect fit fast. They even invented half cups. No more feeling stuck between two cup sizes that don't fit. It's time to get your problems solved. Visit thirdlove.com and get $15 off your order with the code podcast15.
Yes. I'm staring at my coin jar right now. And you know, my son's only three. He doesn't really have the ability to really learn about money yet, but he is at the very least, picking up spare change around the house and dropping it in a coin jar.
Yeah, so, it's a good habit. And you know, it's something someone said to me a while ago is, what you were, those habits that you learn between like 3 and 8 years old are really the same habits you need to take into your adult life. And just like putting that change at 3 for him, it's the same thing I'm doing at home.
And earlier when you talked about, you know, not going to the ATM more than twice, what it sounds like you're doing, which is, I think, great advice for all of us. And it's actually been proven in research that when as humans, we create frameworks around habits or benchmarks or rules of thumb, we are more likely to stay on the path. So this is a great take-home tip. Like, you figure out what your financial rules of thumb are. Maybe you have a few. And for you, Kelly, it sounds like I'm not going to go to the ATM more than twice, or I'm only going to go have my lunch out once a week. You create these frameworks for yourself. And then, you know, as the good stewards of money that we are, or like, you know, we try to do well, and it helps us kind of stay the course.
And I think for me, when it comes to my money, I have to be honest with myself and understand, truly understand and admit my weaknesses. And my biggest weakness right now is business travel, like keeping up with all the receipts, or putting travel on my credit card and waiting 6 to 8 weeks to get it reimbursed and remembering that I need to go back and put it towards that trip that was 6 to 8 weeks. That is my biggest weakness right now. So what I'm looking for now is an app that really helps me keep that aspect of my business life.
I was gonna say, anybody have an app suggestion? You should just make one.
Yeah. Oh, hey, maybe we'll do it together.
Well, there has to be a way, but like, for all sorts of receipts. Like, I mean, I think there's, you know, maybe some things out there, but specifically for travel, for business travelers, I think that would be genius.
Yeah, it's necessary, because that's where I find my personal money pit to be. And I travel a lot. So, you know, I can easily rack up $3,000 of hotel and airfare on my American Express and have to wait 3 or 4 months to get that reimbursement. So that can really throw off your money flow, your cash flow, when you're doing that.
Yes. Kelly, you talked about childhood and how important your early development is between 3 and 9. And I'm curious, when you were a child, and you already even just talked about your dad too, it sounds like he was a great financial role model. What were some of the poignant money moments that you had as a kid that maybe at the time they didn't really mean anything to you, but now as an adult, you reflect back and you go, you know what? That was where I learned how to do X, Y, or Z.
I'll tell you one that is just vivid in my memory is when it was time to go back to school shopping, my dad would make me submit a budget, and he would say, okay, what is it that you think you want to get? And he would make me, he would have me write out a budget. And I would say, okay, Dad, I want to go to the Limited. I remember the Limited was big then. I think they're all gone now, but I want to go to the Limited. And I'm going to spend $250. And so he would make me submit a formal budget to him, and he would go line by line approving or denying the different purchases. And then what he would do is he would say, okay, Kelly, your budget is for $250. Here's $250. And every time he gave me the money, I spent less. And it helped me learn how to manage my money, because what I realized was, well, I could go to the Limited, but I could probably get that same shirt somewhere cheaper and save that money and keep it in my pocket. And so I remember that routinely year after year after year, because I used that as a way to make money as opposed to spending money. So that was probably one of the most vivid memories that I had. I always had a lemonade stand because I, at an early age, I wanted to make my own money, and not that I had a lot of it, but I just wanted to feel, I felt empowered by being able to develop a product. And even if it was just a quarter, and then I wanted to go to the store and buy a pack of gum, it was from my work. So I learned that early. And I always would took pride in that. And so when I think back to sort of where I came versus where I am now, I started taking accounting in high school. And so fast forward thousands of years later, and I ended up getting a PhD in accounting, and I ended up being a CPA. And so it really started so early for me. But those early lessons at home about submitting that budget for those back to school clothes is what really started for me.
I'm so impressed with your accounting acumen. I mean, I couldn't even deal with accounting 201 in college. And I do think that your brain has to be wired a certain way for accounting. It's sort of like physics. Like, I don't know. I'm good at math. I'm good at languages. I'm good at writing. But accounting just was so hard for me. And I don't know. Did you find that it just clicked for you, or you had to work at it? Obviously, probably you have this like inner genius around numbers. And it's not even about numbers, though. Like, accounting is a whole other language.
It is. You know, the thing about accounting is this. You must have a good teacher. You must have someone that can break it down for you in layman's terms and can really just make you see it. And I always was fortunate to have extremely outstanding teachers explain very complex topics in a simple way. And so I had that early on, even as early as high school. I remember Mrs. Farrell was my accounting teacher at Jordan High School in Durham, North Carolina. And she could make it seem so easy. So by the time I got to college, I didn't find it challenging, but I've always had good teachers. And oftentimes when I meet people who have had an accounting class and they had a bad experience, and I say, describe your classroom experience to me. Tell me a little bit about your teacher. And I can always tell that it was a bad person leading them through on the accounting path. So it's key to have someone that can break it down, because like you said, it is its own language, and it's the language of business, like we like to tell students. And so just like you learn French or Spanish, you have to learn that language. And if you have an outstanding teacher, that language stays with you.
Where were you when I was taking it to the... Oh, and by the way, I forgot to mention, I was such a fan of The Limited growing up as well. Remember Limited 2? I don't know if you ever shopped there. They are still around in like very few malls around the country. I think there's, my parents live out in California, they have a mall, and there is actually a Limited there. And I, oh my gosh, I feel like I'm 12 years old again.
The Limited was everything. It was everything. Yeah. And I mean, that was like the gold standard on my budget, like to be able to get a sweater and some stirrups from the Limited. Like, I remember that.
Let's talk about failure. Have you ever had a financial failure?
Financial failure? I think, yes. I think I am in the midst of trying to ward off a financial failure. So I'm in the process right now as we speak. I'm about to put my house in the market, and I am renting a new place. And so going into this plan, I was supposed to have my house on the market and sold, and then renting a place, not having two, like a rent and a mortgage at the same time. So I'm trying to manage a financial failure from happening, because it's a lot of money spent that I'm spending out that I didn't budget for. So that's what I'm currently doing right now.
And what's your proudest money moment to date?
My proudest money moment to date? That's a really good question. I'll tell you. One of my proudest moments was, so I went to graduate school and I didn't have to pay for it. So I went to Virginia Tech for 5 years for free. And that was a very proud moment, because it made me feel like all the hard work up until that point was worth it. And it really helped me not be in a financial hole right now because of graduate school. And so you notice a lot of people that do go and earn a graduate degree come out with huge amounts of debt. And so I would say one of my proudest moment is going to graduate school for free.
How did you work that out?
Well, see, there are not a lot of people that want to get a PhD in accounting, believe it or not. And so there are, at the time, and there still are opportunities, a lot of scholarship and grant opportunities for people that are interested in getting a PhD in accounting, because they wanted to. There's a program called the PhD Project, and the PhD Project is trying to help people of color be in front of the business school and business classrooms in the business schools. And so I happened to receive a fellowship through them. And I also received a scholarship from Virginia Tech, because I had good grades and good scores. And so it just sort of worked out. So I'm very proud of that. And I've never even spoken about it, but that's a big deal, because
that's a huge deal. Cause what, five times like $30,000 a year minimum?
Yeah.
I mean, How much do you think you saved?
I probably saved at least $215,000, I would say. And that's, you know, all in books, tuition, rent, food, traveling abroad, all the stuff that comes with a graduate experience. I would say $215,000 easy.
Wow. $250,000. Imagine being $250,000 in debt. Oh my God.
But you know what?
And I'm sure you would be able to make those payments given that you're super successful, but still.
There are a lot of people that are, though, you know? There are a lot of people that are. And what's interesting about that amount of debt is there are so many people that are saddled with that kind of debt that don't have the salary to keep up with those kind of payments. And they just live their life and they're paying back that for like 30 years. So I'm very fortunate that that didn't happen to me.
Well, public service announcement to anyone listening. If you know someone or if this is you encountering $250,000 bill for any degree, I don't care what it is, walk away. And I will say that there, you can get that. Go somewhere else. That is not the right school and the right program for you. I think that's highway robbery, frankly. I think you're just never going to be able to live a peaceful life unless you win the lottery or something.
And the numbers aren't in your favor for that, right?
No. Kelly, let's do some So Money fill in the blanks. This is kind of a lightning round way to wrap the show. I'll start off a sentence. You finish it. The first thing that comes to mind. Ready? Speaking of lottery, if I won the lottery tomorrow, let's say you won $100 million, the first thing I would do is
pay off my house.
The one thing I wish I had learned about money growing up is
investing at the age of 3.
At 3, as opposed to 5
as
or 9
opposed
or
to 18 or 19.
Yeah, well, still, you had a head start there. that's good. But yes, I can see where a 15-year head start from that would have made a lot more money for you. The one thing that I spend on that makes my life easier or better is?
House cleaning services.
The one splurge that I make regularly that I can't do without is?
I go to a lot of group fitness classes that are a little bit too pricey and I could do it on my own.
So expensive. And they don't cut you any deals.
They don't cut you any deals. They think if you get a package, it's $2 off. I mean, but they're pricey.
Maybe.
They are pricey. If you really look at it and break it down and look at how many times you go in a week or a month, you've spent a lot of money.
Yeah. Hopefully you see the results too.
Yeah. As long as you don't eat any cake or ice cream or...
When I donate, I like to give to blank.
When I donate, I like to give to church.
That's nice. Do you have like a, some people have like a mandatory 10% they do, they tithe every year.
We're encouraged to do. And you know, it's funny because one of the mantras, if you will, is about budgeting and planning so that you can meet that. So, I feel good about doing that. So I feel good at doing that. I feel also good to giving money for scholarships for kids that are trying to go to college or trying to have any experience in college, or they're trying to buy their books for school. And so I think, you know, education and your faith is really important. So I feel good when I give money there.
And last but not least, I'm Kelly Pope. Do you go by Kelly Pope or are you the full name?
I go by my full name, Kelly Richmond Pope, no hyphen.
I'm Kelly Richmond Pope. I'm so money because
I'm Kelly Richmond Pope and I am so money because I've been studying money since I have been 8 years old. I remember the first time I got allowance, I ironed the money with the iron on the ironing board with an iron. Yes,
really
I did.
You were allowed to use an iron when you were 8.
Yeah. I wasn't supposed to, but I was just so fascinated. I wanted it neat and clean and orderly. And so I have like a $10 bill that had been cashed. So money because I've been fascinated by money since I was about 8 years old.
And thank you for demystifying it for us. Thank you for outing some of these criminals and showcasing, you know, just the behind the scenes of how money works and the money schemes that are out there and what to look out for. And hey, if you notice something, if you see something, say something, people, okay? Because this is, according to Kelly, the criminals are caught mostly by whistleblowers.
That's right. That's right. Well, this has been a lot of fun.
Likewise. And congrats again on all the Queen's Forces. We look forward to seeing that hopefully on the big screen or on HBO maybe. We'll be out of fingers
crossed
for you, Kelly.
Thank you so much.
Thanks so much to Kelly Richmond Pope for coming on the show. Her website is kellyrichmondpope.com, and she is on Twitter at Kelly R. Pope. The movie, again, is called All the Queen's Horses. You can go to allthequeenshorsesfilm.com and check out where some of the upcoming screenings will be. Maybe you'll be in the neighborhood. I know there's one coming up in Denver on November 16th at the University of Denver. So if you're around, be sure to check it out. I wish I could see this movie. I think it should come to HBO. That's what I'm thinking. HBO by Kelly's movie. Thanks so much for tuning in, everyone. And I hope your day is so money. Hosting the So Money podcast for almost 10 years, I've been learning a lot about how to best serve you outside the show. I've begun to offer pop-up workshops and a So Money members club. And with each new line of business, a lot goes on behind every transaction. Stripe helps simplify and ease payments with Tap to Pay on iPhone, which helps me grow revenue and reach through accepting more in-person contactless payments when I'm out in real life promoting my programs. Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe give me the ability to scale quickly and stay flexible with quick setup and no additional hardware required. And it's not just ideal for me. From local pop-ups to global retailers, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe help businesses of all sizes accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. Whether your customers want to use their card, Apple Pay, or other digital wallet, now you can accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone. For the longest time, I dreaded buying bras. It was like shopping for jeans. Impossible. You want a bra that's sexy? You want a bra that's comfortable? You can't have both. Well, now you can, thanks to Third Love. Third Love was started to take all the frustration, the ick, the ugh, out of bra shopping. That's why they make solutions for every bra problem or problem. Their bras make it easy to bring back perkiness you haven't seen since high school. Get smoothing, you know where, and have straps that actually stay put. Designed at their headquarters in San Francisco and made with premium materials, they put every style through hours of wear testing on real women, including themselves, before it's given the stamp of boob approval. Comfort and support are guaranteed. Plus, whether you're a AA cup or an H cup, their virtual fitting room will help you find your perfect fit fast. They even invented half cups. No more feeling stuck between two cup sizes that don't fit. It's time to get your problems solved. Visit thirdlove.com and get $15 off your order with the code podcast15.